Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Switching in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get ready to roll here tonight. Did we put a show to you together? The 2022 Major League Soccer season is upon us. The Houston Dynamo will open up on Sunday at PNC Stadium at 6 p.m. We're going to break that down in all directions. Top, bottom, right, left, east, west, north, south. We're breaking it down, and we will get you up to date on what's looking ahead here to Sunday's match. You will hear from Paulo Nagamura, the new Dynamo coach, as well. And this is a few days before his debut in Major League Soccer. 38 years old, a very young coach, Sporting Kansas City 2. And Paulo Nagamura will join us here tonight to talk about a number of different topics. We will also have the Dynamo defender, Teenage Hidabe. Now, remember, Hidabe played for Zimbabwe in the African Cup of Nations, where they were eliminated in the first round. They competed well. They lost to the eventual champion, Senegal, 1-0. So they were all one-goal games. They won one game out of three, did not advance. But Teenage is going to tell us about the African Cup of Nations experience, where football is in his country, his love of the WWE and whether it's fake or real, and then about rejoining his Dynamo teammates here. Question if he'll start or not on Sunday. I think that's one of the questions you would think. Probably not fully fit right now, but this was a guy that did not skip a beat coming into Major League Soccer last year. Eddie Robinson, my partner on television on Sunday, along with Danny Rodriguez on the sideline. He will join me tonight, the former defender. We're going to continue that talk with the Dynamo RSL opener and what we can look for. We'll take on some MLS topics as well because there's some interesting things happening. Hector Herrera played today for Atletico Madrid. He played very well against Manchester United. That was a 1-1 draw. We'll get to that in a minute. But he has been linked to the Houston Dynamo. It is no secret. Pat Onstad is in Europe, the Dynamo general manager. What will this ultimately mean? Nobody knows right now. Dynamo aren't talking about this, but this is public knowledge in differing areas. In fact, on the broadcast today on CBS, the commentator mentioned that the Houston Dynamo were interested in Hector Herrera. Now, the question is Hector Herrera interested in the Houston Dynamo? Our Houston soccer history interview and update tonight. Juan Carlos Mejia from Argentina. Great friend of mine. Juan played in the Astrodome for the Houston Hurricane of the NASL. Time the coach was Timo Lajkowski. Mejia also played in Argentina for Quilmes, but he had a second career in player development. Worked for U.S. Soccer, used to come down here when I was involved in the youth game with the Hurricane Soccer Club, and would come down here, and basically he was a lone ranger going around the country, really trying to begin the process of reaching out to the Hispanic and Latino community and get them more involved in the process of U.S. soccer, which, you know, has gotten to a couple more rungs up the ladder at this point. But back then, he was really a trailblazer. Great guy. Juan Carlos Mejia will join us here, the former NASL Houston Hurricane who played out at the Astrodome. And by the way, he played against Diego Maradona as well. Also, former U.S. international and Fox analyst. So Yesterday, the Striker magazine were doing some panels. Alexi and I were with Roberto Silva, and we were talking about the American soccer media. Is it too soft? And if you want to tell me yes or no, that's a good question for tonight. Two questions. Is the American soccer media too soft? Are we too soft here in Houston? In other words, if we had produced more pressure and there was more mainstream pressure, would it maybe have forced the Dynamo to turn things around quicker? It's a really good question, because essentially that's why media was created. Media was created to keep an eye on, obviously, the elite, and it was created as sort of a tempering mechanism. And without healthy pressure, without media, we're missing a vital element here if we want the Dynamo to be successful. I don't think there's any question. I think Paulo Nagamura wants it. I think Pat Onstad wants it. It's not something you can just conjure up, but it is something I think as an organization you can extend yourselves to try and help grow, because you need it. You have to have it. And I don't think there's any question the Houston Dynamo are looking for that. Pat Onstad has become very transparent, started with Todd Ramos. All right, 6 o'clock on Sunday, 2022, Houston Dynamo opening up against Real Salt Lake. So we're going to talk about that as well. We got some sound to play for you today. We have some Premier League thoughts. And, of course, big blow, Weston McKennie breaking his foot. He's out 8 to 12 weeks. Broken left foot, this from ESPN. Frankly, the tackle from Villarreal's Purvis Estupinan in the 80th minute was a bad tackle. You go back and look at it, his second leg comes through. It's a shame. And this has got to have Greg Berhalter not very happy, probably losing some sleep right now, because Weston McKennie in the last round was the U.S.'s best player. And Juventus coach, that's before we even talk about Maxi Allegri, the Juventus coach. Juventus would end up 1-1 in that game. So let's talk about that, because 1 minute in, their new signing, Dusan Vlahovic, scores for Juventus, and it sounded like this. What a spectacular goal.
Juventus, who were looking to cause a problem, and what a start. Dusan Vlahovic on his Champions League debut. It took him about 36 seconds on his Champions League debut.
Unfortunately for Juventus, that was the only goal they'd score in the day, but it was spectacular. If you have not seen that, you got to see the video of it. Takes it off his chest, swivels and hits it. Fantastic goal. Danny Parejo would tie it up for Villarreal. I believe that was in the 60th minute.
Pedraza. Capoue. Parejo makes a good run. Isn't checked and scores! Danny Parejo levels it up for Villarreal.
So Villarreal, the Yellow Submarine, comes back. It's a 1-1 draw in that opening game. And, of course, they will look in the second leg to try and knock out Juventus. So Chelsea 2-0 over Lille. The main man right now at Chelsea is no question. It's Kai Havertz. Scored in the Champions League final. Scored in the Club World Cup final for the FIFA Club World Cup. And he gets the first one for Chelsea here in a 2-0 win over Lille. It sounded like this.
Ziyech without swing. Chelsea's lead is a prompt one. And Havertz, third time lucky.
So Kai Havertz continuing to score goals for the Blues. Chelsea would get a second. Now, this was an amazing goal, because N'Golo Kante picks this up in his own half. He goes on about a 60-yard run, draws a few people, and then waits a pass to his left to Christian Pulisic. And by the way, Pulisic had a lot to do still. He was at an angle, and it was just a clever little goal from Christian Pulisic to cap off this 60-yard run from Nkante. It sounded like this.
There's Conte on the half turn, with Pulisic one way and Kai Havertz the other. He's played in. Christian Pulisic! Another American goal in the European Champions League.
Enough of the American goal. How about just a good goal? Who cares? Come on. Every time it's an American, we have to highlight that it's an American, like Americans can't play anymore. We're flooding Europe right now. American soccer players have become kind of the soup du jour right now. There are great value, and there's tons of them playing at all levels over in Europe, and they are being sought after. All right. Today, Manchester United 1-1 with Atletico Madrid. Now, this was – Manchester United were like thieves in the night here. They did not deserve to come out of here with a 1-1 draw. They did. Maybe more to Atletico Madrid not getting a second. They came close. They hit a crossbar. They scored early, just like Juventus did. They got a goal from João Felix, and what a goal it was.
Oh, it's a really good chance, and it's in! João Felix got the bounce off the inside of the post. Correa's testing cross, Manchester United static.
The cross came from, and it was an incredible ball from Lodi, and he basically whips this thing in with his left foot. The run is timed absolutely perfectly. I mean perfectly. You watch this on TV, you watch this run of João Felix, and you will watch a perfectly timed run. He basically leaves Harry Maguire 5 yards away from him. But they couldn't produce more goals then. They dominated everything, all facets of the game. And guess what? A 19-year-old Elanga comes on. Not Cristiano Ronaldo. Nope, not Cristiano.
Bruno Fernandes. Oh, he's found a way through, and Elanga, who's just come on, has equalized! That might just be his first kick of the ball! 19 years of age, Anthony Elanga!
What a moment for him. So United still breathes. They're going to host the second leg at Old Trafford. So this ends 1-1. Again, that goal from Atleti, spectacular. It had wow factor. The delivery from Renan Lodi, the beautiful header from João Felix, big wow factor to that. But in the end, a 19-year-old ties it up, and you're going back to Old Trafford in a pretty darn good place. And I'll tell you what, as much as we're up and down with United right now, and there's not a lot of consistency to them, they did not play well today. They're in fourth place in the Premier League. And Spurs, after their dramatic win over Manchester City this weekend, lays an egg today. So United in the driver's seat, but that fourth place in the Premier League, that Champions League spot is the thing everybody's playing for. So let's go back to this weekend. Spurs, who kind of have Manchester City's number, killed them on the counterattack here. Let's go to the Harry Kane goals, and this one puts Tottenham up 2-1 against Manchester City.
Gathered by Ryan Sessegnon. Here is Son. Son, Kane, 2-1 Tottenham! Massive counterpunch! It's another Son Kane cracker!
There you go. And my producer, Andrew Carlson, was happy to see Spurs today. Weren't you, Andrew?
Oh, of course. You know, they had a very unexpected result beating City. I know that you just mentioned that they've been a bogey team sort of for City almost over the past few years, but in this top four race, every single point matters. And to see them drop points today against Burnley, as an Arsenal fan, that's massive.
Yeah, and as a Manchester United fan, that's massive. As a West Ham fan, it's massive. So, you know, pretty much everybody in the Premier League now, top to bottom with relegation and promotion, have something to play for right now. And there's real interest around all of this. I'm going to take you back to the weekend, because you and I had a little bit of a discussion before we came on the air that City got hit on the counterattack, and that's probably their big vulnerability. I think whenever a team is that high of a team from a pressing perspective, has that much of the ball, you know, that is the area you hope to get at them. Not many teams are able to do that, but Spurs certainly did. And it was pretty dramatic the way they won that. And, of course, the two goals from Harry Kane come against the team that was trying to recruit him away. So there was a nice little storyline there. Okay. Don Garber spoke out, the Major League Soccer commissioner. So he, by the way, I believe he's going to be here in Houston, because he may be here in Houston Sunday for the Dynamo game. Don Garber addressed the media. There's signs pointing to Vegas being the 30th team in Major League Soccer. Now, Vegas is not the biggest of media markets, but Don Garber went on to explain. He said, you know, market size is not as important these days. It's all about engagement, demographics, corporate buy, international appeal, all these kinds of things. Las Vegas now. I'm wondering, because a lot of people are saying FIFA would like to go to Las Vegas as a 40th media market size city in the country. But we all know why they would like to go to Vegas. You know, the bright lights, the free buffets, Major League Soccer continuing to expand. This year, Charlotte FC will enter the league. Supposedly, 65,000 tickets are out for and sold for their opener this weekend. Unbelievable. Garber went on to say, we don't need, you know, the Cristiano Ronaldos and the Neymars anymore. The league has outgrown the aging stars. So they're signing guys like Thiago Almeida, 20 years old, from Vélez Sarsfield to Atlanta United for $16 million, supposedly. Facundo Torres, 21, from Uruguay, Peñarol to Orlando City for $7.5 million. Alan Velasco, 19, from Argentina's Independiente to FC Dallas for $7 million. So $7 million, $7.5 million, and $16 million. These are all players that these clubs think are going to increase in value after a couple years here in Major League Soccer. And hope they win them a few titles. But you know what? We still got big names coming. Lorenzo Insigne of Napoli will come to TFC. Jordan Shaqiri from Lyon to the Chicago Fire for $7.5 million. I wouldn't mind seeing Shaqiri here. I love Shaqiri. And then 31-year-old Douglas Costa will go to the LA Galaxy. So there you go. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the Houston Dynamo head coach, Paulo Nagamura. That is next. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented as always by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are going to take your case. They are going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Car, boat, motorcycle accident. It's John Daspit. It's the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com in Houston, Daspit Law Austin. .com and ATX. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here tonight, excited about what is going to be this Sunday's opener for the Houston Dynamo, taking on Real Salt Lake, PNC Stadium at 6 p.m. Next interview is brought to you by Advantage BMW in Midtown. Advantage BMW, get down there, get in a sedan, get in a SUV, go down there, talk to my great friends, both Justin and Steven. Advantage BMW in Midtown, big sponsors of the game of soccer in the Houston Dynamo and this show, Soccer Matters. So it's Advantage BMW Midtown in Houston. All right, next guest, obviously the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. He is Paulo Nagamura. He joins us now. Paulo, how are you?
Good, Glenn. Always a pleasure to be part of your show.
Well, thank you for taking the time to help us out here. It's a good good get for us ahead of Sunday. All right, so maybe just some quick thoughts on preseason up to now, a couple days away from the opener.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good 5 to 6 weeks preparation. I think we're in a good point where we implemented the way that the team wants to play. I think the players understand pretty well the idea. I think they responded well also on the field. So we're ready. We're excited to start our season on Sunday against Real Salt Lake and excited to play in front of our fans. So hopefully we can put a good show and start the season with the right foot.
How important is it, you know, with where the franchise has been over the years and getting off to a great start, you know, new owner, you here as a new coach, Pat, how important is a result here in the opener? Because you only get one curtain raiser.
No, of course, it's always important. We start with the season with a win, but we can't forget like what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. This is a long-term project, right? We want to get things right. We want to get things in the right direction, and one result, one game is not going to dictate what that plan is going to be for the long term of this club. So, but yes, we're going to step on the field for sure with our mentality to get a home win in front of our fans. But we got to also be intelligent and make sure that we understand this is a long-term project, and that's what we're aiming for.
He is the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Paulo Nagamura. Sunday night, the Houston Dynamo taking on Real Salt Lake, opener here in Major League Soccer 2022. How challenging has it been for you building the roster while you're building your tactics and your culture, and you know, with the knowledge that you know your roster isn't complete here? You guys, the general manager Pat Onstad, yourself Asher Mendelsohn, you guys are still looking for players.
Absolutely, I think we're still looking at, and like I said, we're trying to implement the playing style. We're assessing the players and seeing if the group that we have here can implement that. So, and like you said, we're still looking to add a couple of pieces, hopefully, to strengthen that squad. So it's a work in progress. I think, like I said, we are in a good point right now with the group we have. I think we have a very competitive group, a group that can fight for wins every weekend in MLS. But we're not stopping in scouting and looking for players to make sure that we keep getting stronger.
Let's talk about a couple of players. How about the new signing, Zeca? Can you let the fans kind of know and the listeners know what type of player he is and the function you're going to want out of him?
Yeah, a very good outside back with a lot of experiences in the Brazilian league. Play for bigger, three, four big clubs in Brazil. Outside back that has a great engine, can go up and down that sideline on playing on the right side or the left side. A player that is very, very tactical, aware of his position, very good, very reliable. So, and like a normal outside back coming from Brazil, a guy that likes to join the attack and be part of the offense. So hopefully he fits in what we're trying to do here, and hopefully can adapt quick. It's new for him that is coming from Brazil, his first time playing outside of Brazil. So I expect him to be influential, but I think we have to be intelligent also and make sure that we give him enough time for him to adapt to the new culture, the new country, the new league, so we can make the most out of his game here with Houston.
Paulo, when does he arrive? Has he arrived? And you know, what sort of timeline do you have for him potentially to be in contention for being picked to play?
Yeah, no. Last time I heard with him is he's still working on his visa. Hopefully by the end of the week, hopefully he can get back to Houston. But I don't foresee him being available for the Salt Lake game.
Let's continue on, and I know the rumors out there. It's got the Dynamo fan base buzzing about Hector Herrera and the potential of him coming to Houston. Is there anything you can say about that?
Let's put it this way, it's on club's policy that we don't comment on players under contract with other clubs. So I'll deviate this one to Pat. But what I can say is that the club is always looking to add players and we always looking to strengthen our squad.
Excellent. We respect that. All right. Guys like Corey Baird, who last year had a big injury, Tyler Pascher. You know, I know it's positioned sometimes as, hey, these are new players. But how important is it for them to really deliver this year, stay healthy in the big picture?
Yeah, absolutely. I think like we said previously, it's a fresh start for all the players, including Corey, including Tyler. And it's a new playing style. It's a new way of we want to approach the game, and it's another chance for them to show that they deserve to be here with Houston and being an influential part of the team. So both of those guys been very good in preseason, and again, what we're doing is trying to maximize their potential and maximize their game to the benefit of the team.
Now, you said approach to the game, and I know it's preseason, and I'm going to allude back to the prior question where I was talking about, you know, it's hard to implement tactics when you're still building a roster, because you might bring in a player that could very much change your capability as a team or your tactics. But take me into the way you want to play a little bit more, because I know there were some low block playing in preseason. And kind of maybe give the fans a little bit more of an idea on what to expect.
Well, the idea is that we're going to be an aggressive team defensively. I mean, playing a low block, a middle block, a high block is going to depend, I think, very much so who we're playing against, right? You have to adapt to the way that you play depending on the opposition. And I think what we can see from our team is that defensively we're going to be aggressive, and we're going to be a team that is hard to play against, right? Be on the front foot, being aggressive, and offensively a team that is going to value the ball, is going to move the ball around. It's going to be playing a lot of with possession, with passes, in order to score goals. That's basically as simple as I can put to you. But we're going to see a team that is always going to be on the front foot, a team that is going to be aggressive, and especially at home, a team that is going to value the ball up.
Is it important for fans to understand in Major League Soccer too that you can still be aggressive and be in a low block, a middle block, and a pressing block, right? I mean, proactive, most people are going to go, oh, that means they're going to be in the attacking third the entire game. That's not possible with the weather and all these other challenges that you have. But how difficult is it, you know, when you say a low block, you know, to keep guys aggressive, right? Not to get comfortable, to keep closing the ball down sharply and all those things, because the word low block sometimes denotes, oh, we're sitting back and we're not going to put pressure on people. But I don't think that's what you're trying to reach.
Now, the way that I see the low block is that you know which the area of the field that you're defending, right? You're in a low block, and I like to say to the players that even in a low block, you're controlling the situation. You know, and you know where to push the other teams. You know where you want to force the ball. You know where's the most dangerous area. So even if you play in a low block, you have control of the game defensively on a defensive way. So yes, a lot of times when you talk about low block, all you're thinking is, low block and counter, but you defensively playing a low block, you can control the situation of the game. Also just being good, aggressive defending. So, it's a different way of putting it, but that's the simple way of transferring the measure to the fans. You can still be in a low block and control the game defensively as well.
And those decisions can come organically, correct? But they can also come time relative to the scoreline in the game, right?
Absolutely. I think it depends on the part of the game, a team that we're playing against. There's a lot of factors that influence that, but also the players, it's part of the players also to recognize when to do that as well. So, and I think they have a good understanding of that. And I think in these 6 weeks, we throw a lot of new information to the players. And I think they were able to accept that and actually perform on the field, which is a very, very good sign.
Talking to Paulo Nagamura, head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Real Salt Lake in the opener of 2022. We are pumped. We are excited for this game on Sunday night down at PNC Stadium. Paulo, how about the five substitution rule? You know, how has that sort of changed things in your mind as a coach, and how you can use that as an advantage and things like that? Because it puts a real different twist on the game, doesn't it?
Absolutely. For me, as a coach, I think it's awesome because I like to play on a high intensity. I like to our players to play in a really, really high intensity, aggressive way. And especially early in the season, not every player is a 90-minute fully fit to go. So to have those five subs definitely help us to keep that intensity up and keep that mentality that we want to implement in our players' life.
Is that something where in your mind now as a coach you're looking at it and going, you know, maybe we're creating the 60-minute player now, right? Like you give it all. I don't know. I mean, I'm just coming up with things here and I'm thinking in my mind, you know, maybe the 60-minute player is now it's not a 90-minute player anymore. Maybe it's a 60-minute player in certain positions.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. If they're gonna keep the
I'll leave that
sub.
Up to you.
Yeah, we'll see how the five sub rule will stick or not. But you can if different ways of seeing it. Definitely that's one of those way of seeing it. But I'm a big fan of 9 minute player. So, but you can say that yeah, you're creating that. But at the end of the day, you want the players with high intensity on a field, and if a player cannot sustain the 90 minutes and you have a player fresh on the bench that can bring a good impact to the game, I think, yes, you're going to look for that.
Yeah, because it is challenging. You could be playing really well for 90 minutes. An opponent puts three guys on at once, and all of a sudden the energy of the game changes, and maybe it's forcing you into saying, look, I just got to get some fresh bodies on here. I mean, it brings some new challenges.
Yeah, absolutely, especially in MLS, where it's a very physical league. So it brings new challenges, but I believe that this is a good for us because we have a good group, we have a fit group, we have a healthy group that can we can use that in our favor.
Paulo Nagamura, Houston Dynamo head coach. All right, quick word or two on Real Salt Lake before we let you go. How much attention is even being placed on them? Of course, we know they've got some very talented players, like the Croatian Damir Krylak, I mean, Bobby Wood, we can go on and on. But how much attention placed on them? How much is this really about the Houston Dynamo?
It's kind of a little bit of both, yes. We focus a lot of this preseason on who we want to be, but also it comes to a point where we must give attention to the teams that we're going to play against. And Real Salt Lake had a very strong finish last year with Pablo. They made a late run in the playoffs, and we play them in preseason this year. So we have an idea how they're going to approach the game. I think the players will also know and have a good idea on how to approach, how we want to strategically play on Sunday. So it's yes, it is about Houston, it's about us, but also we must be prepared to what Real Salt Lake is going to throw us on Sunday.
Paulo, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate your insight into all these different things ahead of the game. It makes it great for all of us. Thank you so much for joining us. We wish you the best of luck. Get that first MLS victory as a head coach on Sunday night.
Thank you, Glenn. Really, really appreciate it. And let's hope that we can start on the right foot on Sunday. Thank you very much.
All right. He's Paulo Nagamura. It's going to be good. It's televised on Sunday night. We're looking forward to it. Get down to PNC Stadium, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. That's the head coach, Paulo Nagamura. We'll take a quick break here. Hey, quick reminder, we have our Soccer Matters t-shirts up. You can get them at LamontBrands.com. Now, you go over there and you get them. These are for charity, for pediatric cancer. It benefits the Snowdrop Foundation. So it's LamontBrands.com. Get your Soccer Matters t-shirt. It goes for a great cause, the 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation. We'll take a break. It's a Hugh O'Connor break.
Face to be untouched. I want my face to be
ESPN 97.5.
My ears walk through cockpit doors and roam all over Coliseum floor.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
That's Run DMC with My Adidas. You're very welcome, Major League Soccer. Lamont Brands, I want to tell you about Jerry, Mel Sr., Mel Jr. They're all Marines, ex-Marines. www.lamontbrands.com. They do shirts, embroidery, screen printing. So if you're a youth soccer club, high schools, go over. LamontBrands.com. These guys are great. I've toured their facility. They do swag, office supplies, and guess what they're doing? They put together a store for the Soccer Matters t-shirt. All the proceeds will go to the Snowdrop Foundation. So if you go and buy this t-shirt for $20, it all goes back to pediatric cancer awareness. All the funds go back to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation, which, by the way, we are doing two clinics in March, the Dynamo Soccer Club. They've done this for 12, 13 straight years. Olivier Finidori and company and SG1 Alex Parra will be doing a clinic. And it's like $55. You'll get a T-shirt. all these proceeds will also go back. So two really, really good things. We welcome you back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. I would like you to give John and his firm a call if you get in any type of accident. 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual, car, boat, motorcycle. It's the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Next guest here in the first hour, Eddie Robinson, will be on the TV call this Sunday, the former Houston Dynamo defender. He joins us now. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let me just remind the listeners, Eddie has come out a number of years in a row to these Kick Cancer Soccer Clinics that they're very cool. They're done organically. They're done with the help of youth soccer clubs. And, yeah, they're very meaningful. We bring out some cancer patients that speak to the kids. And at the end of the day, we play soccer for 2 hours, do some good training, have some fun, and realize a little bit something that's a little bit more serious. So, Eddie, thank you for doing that as much as you have in the past.
I hope I get an invitation again this year.
Consider yourself invited. You know that. You don't even have to ask. You are an institution. All right. You are an institution with Kick Cancer. All right, let's talk about the Dynamo RSL. Finally getting to this game on Sunday. From Ted Siegel taking over this team, some of the areas added, the spend that's been made. We've collected a few new players. Sebas Ferreira, the big striker, is the biggest signing in the history of the Houston Dynamo when it comes to transfer and salary. Steve Clark, Daniel Saris, Zeka, you and I have talked. We're waiting on more midfield signings. Pat Onstad is over, apparently, in Europe. Where do you see the Dynamo heading into this game Sunday?
Well, I guess probably they're going to be comfortable playing against RSL because they played them in preseason in Arizona. So they're going to have an idea of what to expect. So that should make it a little bit more comfortable. But as you just mentioned, if the Dynamo don't get a playmaking midfielder. I mean, you know, all the rumors going about Hector Herrera, who knows if that's true or not, or if he might wind up in Houston. But, you know, you've got to get a playmaker in midfield to get Sebastian Ferreira the ball. He's not going to do you any good if you don't get him service. The one thing, though, that I will say, throughout all five, I believe it was five preseason games that the Dynamo played, he didn't have many chances, but when he got a chance, he finished every single one of them. And outside of, you know, maybe a Mar Minotis, a Brian Ching, the Dynamo really haven't had a center forward that you could really count on. You know, that, you know, you just look at Manchester United today. Would they have, like, one chance and they scored a goal? And it's, you know, it's a 19-year-old kid. He gets one chance and he scores. And that's what you can expect from Sebastian Ferreira. He doesn't get down. He can wait for his opportunity, even if it's late in the game, but you've got to figure out ways to get him the ball. Because if you do, you're going to score a lot of goals this year.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any question. Last year we saw Maxi Arruti very, you know, precise and taking limited chances early in the season, and that tapered off. But I think let's take our fans into some of the qualities you and I have seen in him. Number one, his movement is excellent. You're right. He looks like an out and out finisher. So it's no more this goals by committee, and you know, you just kind of are really excited to see him in real live competition, and then ultimately get a little bit more support out of midfield. And I take you right to the midfield because it's the same midfield basically with and now a departed Joe Corona, so it's basically the same midfield. And this is a midfield that struggled last year, so I can see why Pat Onstad and company are going and looking for more players on the level of a Hector Herrera. And that's out there publicly, by the way, for everybody and anybody. We've seen that out there in the public, that the Dynamo, having commented on it in the prior interview with Paulo Nagamura, said they don't comment on players that are under contract, which you can respect, but it is out there. So let's go to the midfield. What will be different, Eddie?
Well, as of this moment, nothing. You know, we saw, especially in the Austin FC game that you and I did on the stream on HoustonDynamoFC.com, that the Dynamo really struggled in possession. And this is what really, really hampered them last year, is they would give the ball away in possession, or they wouldn't have one of the one of their number sixes sit and protect that back four. There would be big gaps between the midfield and the center backs, and that's dangerous because a lot of teams in Major League Soccer, with the athleticism of this league, love, absolutely love the counterattack. And so if the Dynamo can't get, you know, a top playmaker that will really allow, you know, a Darwin Serena, Matias Vera, to sit back and be a little more disciplined and protect that back four and defend a little bit better, it's going to be difficult for the Houston Dynamo. But, I mean, you know, fingers crossed that this Hector Herrera thing works out, because for me, he's more of a number eight, really good in possession, makes good decisions, but he's that hard man that the Dynamo just don't have. You got to have those kind of players in Major League Soccer. You need your quality technical guys, but you need that guy that's going to lay in a tackle when he needs to, that's going to hold other guys accountable. And, you know, in this part of the world, after where he's played, is there anyone that could come in with more respect from the other players, even though he hasn't been with them at all? If he comes, that's going to be huge. That's so important for the Dynamo. And if this midfield cannot keep possession of the ball, which we haven't really seen, you know, they talk about Paulo Nagamura talks about wanting to be a possession-based team, but I haven't really seen it. I haven't been convinced yet. I'm not totally convinced yet, but they've had a couple more weeks of training before the game on Sunday, so hopefully they've gotten a little bit more fine-tuned, and we'll see. But if you can keep possession, that's going to do one other thing for the Dynamo. If that midfield can keep possession, you're going to be able to move the ball up the field more methodically, thus getting more players in the box. That's one of the things that you lack when you count on a counterattacking style, is when it goes so fast, guys can't catch up. So you might have one, you might have two in the box versus four defenders. So those are, for me, the issues, and those are what we're going to look for, and we'll talk about it more on the broadcast on Sunday in the pregame show.
Well, looking at that midfield last year, they had plenty of time to prove they could be a better possession-oriented team. They had 34 games. Tab Ramos moved everybody and anybody into different positions trying to find some sort of solution. So for me, that is a key area of the team now. It needs two significant signings. Let's start with one, but it definitely needs two that, in my opinion, just lift the entire bar of not only the midfield, but maybe even the team. So Hector Herrera could come in and truly be the governor, you know, that he could be the orchestrator and would be the quality, you know, international experienced leader that you need. Of course, we know what he could potentially do off the field as well. So that's exciting to me. I like your points that you make. I would say the way you protect and control games is through good possession as well, Eddie. And then I would also say team shape and compactness, right? I looked at Austin FC, and they just looked like, to me, in that game, and that's one game, and I think they did it against Atlas too. They just look like they're moving together. They're closer together. They got a better team shape because, listen, Austin FC got absolutely ripped on the counterattack as well last year. I mean, both them and the Dynamo are very similar in many, many ways. Real Salt Lake comes in with some storylines. Pablo Mastroianni, the former Dynamo assistant. There is no more Albert Rusnak. He has signed with Seattle. So we still have to contend, though, with a great Croatian sort of hybrid withdrawn forward, Damir Krylak.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be interesting for them. It's one less really good attacking player that the Dynamo are going to have to worry about defensively. And, you know, the one person we did not mention during that midfield conversation was Koko Karaskia. If Paulo Nagamura can get at least one, if not two of those guys, those midfielders, to be disciplined defensively, you can take all of the defensive responsibility off of Koko. And if he has improved, which it looks like he has compared to last year, he just wasn't settled, but he seems more settled and more comfortable now, then he could be that playmaker. We don't know, but we're going to see. But, you know, so they're going to have to get him the ball. Absolutely. You know, Corey Baird is probably, most likely, based on all the preseason games, going to start. He's going to be excited to play against his old team. You always want to give players that opportunity to play against their old team. And let's see if the Dynamo can really be proactive That's another word that we hear time and again in interviews, not just with Paolo Nakamura, but with Pat Onstad as well. Higher up the field, defend higher up the field, because the Dynamo sat a little bit deep at times in preseason. So I'd love to see him a little bit higher up the field, which is allows the back four. If the back four can play up or around the midfield, that's less distance that your fullbacks have to travel to get forward. And that's going to be so important for the Dynamo attack to get Sebastian Ferreira the ball.
Good stuff. I think if you go back to the interview that Paolo Nakamura just said, he said that we're going to be aggressive as a low block team, a mid block team, a high block team. It is a little bit challenging, I think, when you're putting a roster together to think about your tactics. Because, look, if you bring in a Hector Herrera, now all of a sudden that could enable you to play very, very differently. So I find this all interesting. Let's go over what we think might be a starting lineup. Steve Clark in goal, would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, obviously. Lundqvist, Steris, Parker, and Dorsey at the back. I guess the question is, would Teenage Hadebe get a start? We have his interview coming up. We'll talk to him about where he's at, but I think he's still trying to get fit, so it's either Steris or Hadebe, I would think, there. What do you think, Eddie?
Well, I can't imagine Hadebe's not fit. I mean, coming back from the African Cup of Nations, he played all the group games. They didn't advance, but he played, and he's been back for a little bit training with the team, and I thought he was outstanding last year. I thought he was really, really good last year. He didn't give the ball away. He was good in 1v1 situations, especially last-ditch tackles because he's got those long legs. So in and around the 18, he blocked shots. I would be shocked. But that being said, Harris and Tim Parker have built a rapport this preseason. They've played basically every game together at some point. And if it were me, I would probably pick Teenage Hadebe because I think he was really, really good last year. I thought he was probably one of the better players once he got here, and he didn't take him long to settle in. So we'll see. I don't think you can really go wrong with either Steris or Hadebe. I think the two outside backs, I think you're right. They started pretty much every game.
Well, let's just go back to Steris and Hadebe. Steris has played every preseason game. You kind of might want to reward him if Teenage Hadebe's not quite as fit as he wants to be, which I think he has mentioned in this next interview. And I only tip you off there because I did the interview earlier today. So it is a taped interview coming up. I just want to remind all of you that. But it's a good one. And then you go into midfield with... And by the way, Hadebe, like Eddie said, I thought he took to like water. We got 2 minutes here, so let's fly through this. Who do you think the midfield three is going to be, Eddie?
Well, it's going to be Matias Vera. He's signed to a pretty big new contract in there. And then, Memo Rodriguez and Coco Carrasquilla have been playing a lot of the minutes. Darwin Quintero, we've talked about it on this show before recently during the offseason that he can't play 34 games. But when he does play, if he's sharp, he can create. I mean, we saw the assist that he got in preseason against, I believe it was Salt Lake, the little dink over top to Fafa Pico. So I think that's the three. That's the three that Paolo Nakamura has liked the most is Memo Rodriguez, Darwin Serén, and Coco Carrasquilla.
Yeah. We'll see. Carrasquilla was buzzing before he got hurt in that game. But he's apparently fully healthy. I think it's pretty clear it'll likely be Pico, Ferreira, and Baird up front. That's kind of what we're thinking here. There's what we're looking at for the Houston Dynamo heading into their game against Real Salt Lake. Eddie, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Good stuff. I will see you on Sunday. And looking forward to getting this opener. It's exciting times. Right now, anybody... I'm going to give caller number 2 and 4 at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Caller 2, caller 4, you get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo RSL game, their opener this Sunday, 6 o'clock at PNC Stadium. It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, daspitlaw.com. Give them a call, 713-322-HURT. John and his firm, Personal Injury Attorneys. They will take your case. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. It's DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, the presenting sponsors of this show. We'll take a break. We come back with Houston Dynamo defender Teenager Davey.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.